Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Delight.
Good afternoon to you, Zama. I hope you're good.
I'm well, thank you. I hope that you've been good.
Yes, I'm doing well.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about leading the Gen Zs, you know, the team of young people called the Gen Zs. And of course, if you're out there listening and you manage a team, you already know the workplace is changing quite rapidly. A brand new generation is officially in the building. Yes, they're in the building and they're tearing up the old corporate playbook. We're talking about the Gen Zs. They are digital natives, fiercely independent, and they communicate entirely differently than the generations before them. So how does one lead this group of people? How do you keep them motivated? And more importantly, how do you stop them from job hopping? Well, our guest, Mr. Mandina, is here to talk to us about that, adapting our communication style to retain the youngest workforce generation. Now, Delight, we hear a lot about Gen Z quiet quitting or demanding constant, constant praise. But what is the actual reality on the ground? Are they truly harder to lead, or are traditional managers just outdated in their approach?
I think first and foremost, allow me to confess that this is a beautiful, interesting topic that you've given us tonight. Leading the Gen Z, and this is a conversation that I think every leader I've met is having quietly, and I think this is the right time we had it out loud. And to answer your question, it's a very much good question, but allow me to answer it, I think, a bit balanced and honestly. My view is this. So Gen Z is neither harder to lead, nor are older managers necessarily outdated. But what is actually happening is different from what most people are actually describing. Gen Z is not more difficult. They are more outspoken. And I think that is a really important distinction. Speak to the intro privately. Many of them will tell you that they carry the same frustrations that is now voicing out. So they wondered why feedback only came at annual reviews. They wondered why leaders never explained the why behind decisions. They quietly resented the culture of unpaid overtime, but they did not say it out loud. But now we have a generation which we have preferably said Gen Z. They will say it they'll say it out loud, and that unsettles most people, unfortunately. I always use the story of Daniel in the Bible. You know, he was a young man, likely a teenager. Actually, most scholars, they believe that he was around 15 years when he was captured into Babylon and taken away from home into Babylonian captivity court, completely a secular workplace. Allow me to put it that way. Different values, different food, even a new name. And Daniel's response in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and Daniel purposed in his heart. But as you read the chapter around verse 12, his response was actually fascinating. He did not storm out. He did not rebel dramatically to eat of the king's delicacies. He did not conform either. He respectfully negotiated a different arrangement. He said, you know what? Verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days. And he was clear about his convictions. But at the same time, he was excellent at the work. So in fact, I think that is often what Gen Z is trying to do. They are saying, here is my identity, here are my boundaries, and I'm still going to bring you my best work. I think that is not difficult. That is clarity. And a good leader should learn to receive it.
Yeah. Now, how do traditional corporate communication styles clash with their Gen Z expectations? And what are some simple changes that the leaders should actually make?
I think, Zama, the clash is not really about the tone or slang or emojis. It is about who information belongs to. So traditional corporate communication assumes that information is a privilege of seniority. So if you are higher up, you get more of it and you drip it down slowly. But now when it comes to Gen Z, it assumes that information is a right of participation. So if they are in the room, they should know what is happening. So I see three specific clashes here. The first is speed. So I can give an example, long emails versus quick voice notes. If it takes three paragraphs to say what could be said in a 30-second voice note, they read that as inefficiency, not professionalism. The second, probably ambiguity. Older leaders, they often say that user initiative. Gen Z hears that as, I do not want to explain. Say what good looks like. And then the third one is dialogue. We find corporate culture used to be one directional, and the boss would tell you something, and then you as the team would shoot. But when you look at the Gen Z type of communication, they expect a conversation. And honestly, Zama, I think this is the Jesus model of communication, actually. Jesus asked more questions than he answered. He drew truth out of people rather than lecturing them. That is what Gen Z is asking for. Not less authority, just more of a dialogue. Yeah. You remember the conversation that Jesus had when he remained in the temple. He was asking a lot of questions.
Now, why do Gen Z employees demand continuous real-time feedback? And how can managers provide this without micromanaging?
I would like to think that they demand it because they grew up in a feedback loop.
Okay.
I grew up in a feedback loop. I mean, okay. every Instagram post, you know, every WhatsApp message, every TikTok gave us real-time signal on how we are being received. So the 12-month performance review to the Gen Z feels the way waiting 6 months for a letter would feel to us. It is not impatience. It is the world they grew up in. And here's the most important thing, and I want to say it very, very carefully. Recognition and feedback are not just a Gen Z need. A dear friend of mine reminded me of an old saying, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. And I think that is true across every generation. Encouragement, clear communication, and respect ultimately bring out the best in people, whether they are 22 or 62. So when we design better feedback systems for Gen Z, we are actually building better workplaces for everyone. And then now on the fear of micromanaging, I would like to believe that feedback and micromanagement are opposites, not neighbors. So micromanagement is telling someone how to do the task, but feedback is telling them how the task landed after they did it. Confusing the two is why leaders freeze. So the practical shift is from monthly reviews to probably weekly rhythms. A 15-minute, how did that go, you know, that conversation every Friday? It actually beats a one-hour review every quarter. And I love the way Jesus gave feedback to Peter. You remember, I think it's the book of John chapter 1, verse around 42, where he says to Peter, you are Simon of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means rock. And that is feedback that names the potential which the Gen Z is asking for. Not just good job. They want you to see who they can ultimately become.
Are they not in a hurry, though, to get this feedback? Because, you know, in the earlier generations, I mean, in my generation, for instance, I'm a so-called 1K. We were happy to receive the feedback at the, you know, when you have those meetings with the managers, what were they called?
Yeah.
Before you get your increase, you know, where they do the scoring, etc. We were okay with mm-hmm. that. And is it not because they are impatient, the Gen Zs?
I think, yes, they are impatient, some, but also we need to understand that times have also changed. But also not getting rid of those who are managers. They were also young people who were impatient, but it's just that their impatience was never outspoken loudly. So people would actually just decide to keep silent, to get silent over it.
All right. Now, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Now, I'm talking about now open dialogue. Why is it, the open dialogue about workplace stress and mental well-being a non-negotiable requirement for this Gen Z generation?
May I repeat your question if I got it correct? You are saying why open dialogue about workplace stress and mental well-being?
Yes.
A non-negotiable requirement?
Yes.
Okay. I think because they are the first generation refusing to inherit the cost of silence. So their parents, our parents, they worked through burnout without a language for it, as I've said. So Gen Z has the language and the intent to use it. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are stuck. So apparently there's a research that I made, which says that 77% of Gen Z, they prioritize mental health support over higher salary. 70%, they report burnout. 92%, they expect to feel comfortable discussing mental health at work. And this is no longer a soft preference. It's a baseline expectation. And I think in our African context, I have to be honest that we have quietly agreed for generations that mental health is not something you talk about at work or even at home or even sometimes at church. And we find Gen Z is quietly breaking that silence. And I think it's actually a gift. If we build workplaces, even here in Zim or even outside of Zim in Africa and globally, that name burnout exactly and earlier, I think we would save families, would save homes, and would save the church workforce too. Because they are the same young people leading in our congregations. And even if you are to read the Bible, I love how the Bible does not shy away from this. Look at, for example, who can I use? Elijah, for example, one of the greatest prophets in scripture. He calls down fire from heaven in one chapter, and by the next chapter, he's under a broom tree asking God to let him die. Imagine the distinction. 1 Kings chapter 19, it says so. That is burnout in his purest form. But what do you find God doing? He does not rebuke him. He does not lecture him. He gives him food and rest, and eventually a still small voice. And you know what, Sama?
Yeah.
I think that is the model for leaders. When your Gen Z team member comes to you and says, "I'm not okay," I think do not preach to him. Do not preach to them. Feed them. Let them rest. And then you speak to them gently. That is the Elijah's model. And I think this is still the best one a leader can actually have and implement as well.
Yeah. Now, there is an issue of job hopping, you know, especially within their first year. How can leaders show clear pathways to promotion quickly enough to keep these guys from job hopping?
I think you're not putting me on the spot. I think the mistake that most leaders make is thinking that Gen Z they want faster promotions. I think I would like to disagree that they don't. They want what they want are clearer maps. So there's a big difference between these two things. So according to Deloitte's 2026 research that they did, it showed that only 25% of Gen Z want fast track career progression. So after the 25%, they then say that 44% actually prefer steady gradual growth. And then the remaining 21%, they will happily take a lateral move if it is the right role. So the story that all Gen Z want to be CEO by 27, I think is not simply not accurate. What they cannot tolerate, and this I can assure you, is being kept in the dark. So if they cannot see how this year connects to next year, they will assume it does not, and they will start looking elsewhere. And the fix is straightforward. I think this speaks to many leaders to say that give every Gen Z employee a written development conversation in their first 90 days. Not a promise of promotion, but a map. So here's what growth looks like here. Here are the skills that unlock the next step. Here is what we will invest in you. Here is what we ask from you. And I think here of which biblical example can I utilize? Joseph. Joseph, you remember you were sold as a teenager into a foreign country?
Yeah.
You worked in Potiphar's house, then in prison, then in Pharaoh's palace. From the outside, that career path looks chaotic. But every step was preparation. And Joseph's excellence at each stage is what unlocked the next stage. So Gen Z need to know trajectory exists, even if it is not linear. So draw them the map. Half your retention is already solved when you do that.
Yeah. Right. Now, we're leading towards the close of our conversation. And how do leaders then navigate the strict work-life boundaries Gen Z is set without viewing it as a lack of commitment? Are these guys, you can't call them after 5 o'clock.
Quite interesting. So when they've knocked off, they've really knocked off.
Yeah.
But I think for your question also, we need to separate the two words in your question. Boundaries and commitment. I think these two they are not opposites. In fact, some of the most committed people I know have the clearest boundaries set. What they lack is bandwidth to be endlessly available. And what they bring is total presence in the hours they are on. Do you get that?
Yeah.
So older generations they often equated hours in the seats with dedication, but when it comes to Gen Z, they equate dedication with output. So whether the output happens at 9 in the morning or at 11 on a Sunday night is their business, as long as the output is delivered. And I think Zama, as an Adventist, I have to say this. The Sabbath principle is fundamentally a work-life boundary. So God himself, at the end of creation, he drew a line and said, this is enough. Now rest. That was not a lack of commitment to the world he was building. That was a design for sustainability. So when a Gen Z employee draws a boundary at the end of their working day, whether they know it or not, they are echoing something that was written into creation itself by God. So even interestingly, Jesus would withdraw in most cases in the Bible consistently, even at the height of his ministry, when the crowds were pressing in and the sick were waiting. Actually, the book of Luke chapter 5, verse around 16, it tells us that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So if Jesus can pause our Gen Z team members can also do so as well. but I just think that the leader's job is to build a system where boundaries are legible. So publish the working hours, publish the response time expectations, and then respect them yourself. If you email at 10 in the night expecting a reply, you're
well, man, I think we should leave it there. Our time is completely over, but I think our conversation is also done. I must thank you so much for coming through. It's been a very enlightening and refreshing conversation, I must say. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate.
Thank you so much, Delight.
Sure.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.